All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Did you see what happened yesterday where they found hundreds of millions of dollars of money was fraudulently given to newspapers and, I guess, Politico out of USAID? Just tremendous amounts of money, had nothing to do with anything. This is a terrible thing that was experienced, but we're catching them left and right. We're catching them. We're catching them to a point where they don't know what the heck is going on. They can't believe they're getting caught. And I have great respect for the people that are doing it. Elon Musk is helping us on it. He's pretty good at it, but the numbers are astounding.
So it turns out that while conservative news outlets had their news stories censored on social media by the deep state, most specifically the FBI, but also the Pentagon, social media accounts were censored and disappeared outright, tens of thousands of those. Again, we know that from the Twitter files from the FBI. Well, conservative news sites were demonetized across the internet from YouTube to social media platforms through the federal government taxpayer programs like the Global Engagement Center. And the way this worked was those programs would send out essentially emissaries to encourage large companies not to advertise anywhere and in any way, and advertising agencies too that advertise for them that might benefit or be on or near a conservative website, effectively demonetizing them. And but the way this works is these big companies are scared to death of the SEC. They're scared to death of the financial arms of the federal government, and most especially the Democrat Party. They are not going to advertise somewhere and risk an SEC investigation. And that's how this worked. Well, simultaneously to that, we're now learning that the federal government was funding left-wing outlets like Politico, Reuters, the New York Times, and outlets all over the world. The scope of it, as Trump said, is staggering. And I have no doubt we haven't found it all yet. Like Politico, yesterday the outrage was that they'd been paid $8 million by the federal government. By the end of the day, we discovered it was more like $29 million and scattered across multiple departments. From the Department of Health and Human Services, $6.97 million. Department of Energy, $4.21 million. Department of the Interior, $3.52 million. On and on and on and on. Looks like they're trying to hide the money. Some claim, oh, the $8 million was for subscriptions at $15,000 a pop. Sure. Okay. They get subscription like that from Breitbart? No, they didn't. Then it was the New York Times, $54 million for them, scattered across the same 10 agencies. The most jaw-dropping, I think, though, is the fact that the Department of Defense, you know, the U.S. military, paid $9.1 million to Reuters. You know, the wire service? Folks, Reuters controls so much information because their articles are purchased by the other sites. So you might be on Politico, but you're reading a Reuters article. Listen to this. When the Department of Defense paid Reuters $9.147 million, the line item expenditure was coded as, get this, social engineering operations for, quote, large scale social deception, unquote. You know, the acronym would be LSD, large scale social deception. That is how the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, describes this expenditure with Reuters. What does it tell us? They know it's fake news. They know that its purpose is to deceive and to confuse the American people, who they're apparently at war with using their own money. It's an astonishing admission that the accounting department no doubt didn't mean to make or for anybody to ever see. The Pentagon considers the reporting, and it's echoed across the whole media echo chamber, to be fake, to be misinformation. And so they're funding it. While our government simultaneously, by the way, and the Pentagon, which has its own censorship programs, I've done whole Battleground America podcasts on those. They're worldwide, but they target conservatives here and across the globe. The Pentagon knows this news is fake. That's why it funds it and values it. The scope here is staggering. If you just look at the highly controversial agency, USAID, by the way, Trump announced overnight he froze for 90 days the, get this, $268 million that would have gone out the door just to pay for media around the world. That's, get this, U.S., according to USAID's own 2023 fact sheet, that pays 707 news outlets, 6,200 journalists, 279 media sector civil society organizations. A lot of them now write articles that are then picked up by fake news. That paid for their operations, including money that went to the BBC. Why would you do this? Because we live in a digital world. And so you can, for instance, control what the media says here, but you can't control the truth that bleeds over across country and state lines. You've got to get a grip on what reality is in the world and bend it to make it as fake as your domestic news. Folks, I've talked about this many times. What I do has shifted over the years. I used to be just a conservative talk show host, so I would inject whatever conservative points of view, ideas, ideology, facts were left out or blacked out by the mainstream media. But that began to change years ago. I describe what I do now is a fight, a bare knuckle fight for reality, to live in reality. So these past years, if you are a conservative media outlet, a conservative pundit, or just someone with conservative ideas, you were algorithmed down, had your accounts taken from you outright in some cases. If you were like the New York Post, they took your account outright. Why? Because you wrote the story that should have won the Pulitzer. You wrote the Hunter Biden laptop story and had your Twitter feed shut down because of it, had your Facebook feed almost completely limited because of it. And you were right. Remember, folks, it took the New York Post just one weekend to authenticate the Hunter Biden laptop. And it took the rest of the media, much of which we're now learning is paid. Folks, we haven't even found half this money yet. It took the rest of the media years to authenticate it. Why? Because they're paid to lie. How is this any different at all than Pravda in Russia? It'd be one thing if they just financed some sites. But when you combine this with the censorship programs by the deep state, and the fact that we were demonetized, folks, let me give you an idea what they were fighting about. I will never forget, right after the 2016 election, the SEO hits came out. There's reports on that every month. Top 100 websites, not news websites, but websites. For the first time in my adult lifetime, our media, Breitbart, Daily Caller, the Gateway Pundit, all of them were in the top 100. In fact, only two mainstream news sites, The New York Times and MSN.com, rated higher than us. We were beating Home Depot, Bank of America, Walmart.com. That's why Trump won. And that's what our government had to end. Folks, it is a miracle we escaped this system. By 2020, when Trump lost, and I'm convinced it's because of media censorship. By 2020, when Trump lost, remember he had his Facebook account taken from him, his Twitter account taken from him? Yeah. Well, remember when Elon Musk bought Twitter and began to turn all of that around? Do you realize this? Elon Musk never said a word about the fact that he was going to uncensor Twitter, that he was going to allow free speech until the deal closed. And it was too late for the Democrats to stop him. And I look back on it and gives me chills because I know exactly what he was doing. The Democrats would have pulled out all the stops to stop that deal if they knew what he was doing. They didn't. They figured he was still theirs. He had all the government contracts. This guy'd be great. They could control him. Turns out they bet wrong. Folks, the sheer size of these payments to these outlets, and I guarantee you there'll be more by the end of the day that we find, while most of this is broken over the last 24 hours, makes me ask the question, this whole time, if Republicans had just paid attention to what we were paying, could we have pulled the plug on the mainstream media? Can they survive now with a business model of lying in an age of community notes? I think, folks, the answer is no. Their media, and thus the lie they depend on, cannot survive without government help. Folks, if you read this article, it's by liberal Axios, who knows how much money they take. House Democrats crash Speaker Mike Johnson's meeting with Bessant. They literally broke in, went in uninvited. Here's what Axios, a left-wing publication, writes. What we're hearing, a person who saw the interaction between the Democrat congressman who busted into Speaker's office, a person who saw the interaction accused the Democrats of, quote, incredibly rude, extremely aggressive, and frankly unhinged behavior. They are. They're unhinged. The Congress members themselves are standing in the street. Now, they're not even unleashing their street crews alone. Normally let them do the dirty work. Folks, have you seen their eyes? Watch their eyes in these videos as they threaten street violence, street insurrection. They're scared. They're angry because for the first time, they're scared. Mike Benz used to work for the State Department. He now runs the Foundation for Freedom Online. He knows intimately how all of this funding works. And here's what he wrote on X. He's been warning about USAID for a long time, that it was subverting free speech. He writes, I've been telling you guys forever that you've been living your whole life in a carefully constructed USAID Truman Show, where none of the institutions you meet, from the media to public health to universities to NGOs, those are nonprofits, to terrorists, because they do so much terrorist funding, are the institutions you think they are. If you want to pull from the nothing is real file, let's start here. What have we done so many podcasts on the battleground about? Anthony Fauci funding gain of function research at the Wuhan lab. That is the chief bioweapons lab of the People's Liberation Army of China, our foremost enemy on Earth. We transfer them the gain of weapon technology, and 7 million people are dead. Folks, I went and checked. There have been 28 hearings on the origins of COVID in Congress. In 12 of those 28 hearings, Anthony Fauci has been hauled in for transferring the $6 million to Echo Health Alliance, which ultimately did the work at the Wuhan lab. $6 million. Fauci's the face of it. But you know what? This whole time, through all those hearings, I had no idea. USAID contributed many times what Fauci did to the Wuhan lab. $54 million. It turns out Rand Paul knew it. So did 22 other senators who at one point wrote a letter, a demand letter to USAID, asking for more information and for Samantha Power to come and testify. They were gaffed off. Samantha Power is kind of the right-hand woman of Barack Obama, who's been leading USAID for a long time. And what specifically was a $54 million expenditure by USAID for in 2018? Quote from the letter from Senator Rand Paul, it was to create a SARS-like coronavirus with a furin cleavage site, unquote. That's exactly what COVID-19 turned out to be, Rand Paul said. I'm quoting from an article on this about how CIA and USAID colluded to create COVID at the Wuhan lab. I'll put that in the sources at the end of the podcast. It's by Michael Schellenberger of Public. He was the guy who broke the Twitter files. Liberal journalist, by the way. I guess he's not on the payroll, the federal government payroll. So these people fund COVID, ultimately end up killing 7 million people, but also fund the censorship programs that hide the origins and fund major media outlets. Folks, we've just begun to find this. This is all of them. This took a worldwide effort to silence this, and that's exactly what they funded. By this point, you're probably asking yourself, who the hell are these people? Again, as Secretary of State Marco Rubio explained the other day, the purpose of USAID is to aid the State Department and the CIA. CIA agents can't very well walk in to a palace somewhere and bring along promise an irrigation project for the Southern District that the king is trying to tame. That's where USAID comes in, or it's supposed to. And as the Democrats readily admit, it does regime change. They just forgot to mention where. It turns out, here. As I said yesterday on the podcast, used to be Cold War regime change. They were throwing out the communists. Now they're installing left-wing dictatorships all over the world including, unfortunately, the United States of America. Here's a perfect example of how they work from liberal investigative journalist Michael Schellenberger on Public. Do you remember the Trump impeachment when the CIA whistleblower filed that complaint? Yeah, well, the complaint cited a long report by an organization called OCCRP, the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project. In fact, it was the key source the CIA whistleblower used to justify what would ultimately become the Trump impeachment. The CIA analyst quoted it four times. Who's the OCCRP? Oh, they're funded almost entirely by USAID. In fact, USAID officials confirm that USAID approves OCCRP's annual work plan and new hires of key personnel. In fact, they are the CIA and USAID. I'll attach a link to the article here because it's quite long, but they were busted in all of this by a German publication. Here's what Schellenberger said of USAID being used for anti-Trump operations.
It appears that the CIA, USAID, and OCCRP were all involved in the impeachment of President Trump in ways similar to the regime change operations that all three organizations engage in abroad. The difference here is that it is highly illegal and even treasonous for CIA, USAID, and its contractors and intermediaries, often called cutouts, to interfere in U.S. politics in this way.
The good news is it looks like they won't be doing that anymore. Almost all of the 10,000 employees of USAID around the globe and in D.C., yes, 10,000 employees. Folks, no wonder you can't afford groceries. This is what we print money for. To be subverted, manipulated. Anyway, all 10,000 employees, just about with the exception of a very small skeleton crew, are being recalled by President Trump. It's a start. Meanwhile, John Ratcliffe, at Trump's direction, has offered buyout, 8 months of salary and health benefits, and then you're gone forever, has offered buyout to almost entirely the whole CIA. What does that tell you? It's been infected for a very long time, and it needs to go too. Or our country can't go on. Not like this.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.